I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 12 for the message this morning. The book of Genesis chapter 12. And I want to preach to you from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This is where God called Abraham and asked him to go down to the land of Canaan and go from the north to the south, the east to the west, and walk the length and breadth of the land. And a promise was made to him that he would be blessed and all of his descendants would be blessed in this land. I have preached from this passage of Scripture many, many times through the years, but I was reading it earlier in the week, and I got to the fifth verse, and I saw this little principle that I want to preach to you about this morning. And so I wouldn't forget it, I wrote it down. You notice that you write down everything now? Y'all notice that? I'm not the only one that does that, am I? I have to write it down or I don't remember it. And then a week later, I said, what was that? I was trying to remember. And now I'm to the place, usually I could remember what I was trying to remember. I'm to the place now where I can't even remember what I was trying to remember. So I've got to write everything down. And so I went tearing through my desk and on my desk and in my desk and under the desk trying to find that little piece of paper. And I had stuck it in my pocket. And so I remembered that at least I did remember that part. I remembered that I'd stuck it in my pocket. So when I went home at lunchtime, I dug through the dirty clothes to find my shirt. And lo and behold, there it was. So thus the message. But let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. And you follow along in your Bible as I read the scripture. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, please get the picture. All right. Abraham is in Ur of the Chaldeans. That's up in what is presently today Iraq, right in the Baghdad area. All right, so he said, get up and get out and go to Canaan, and I will show you the land when you get there. All right, verse 2. And if he's obedient, and if he does what God's asking him to do, notice the promise. There are actually seven promises made here. In verse 2, he said, I will make of thee a great nation. And of course, that is the promise to for the land of Israel, the nation of Israel. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, folks, if you're sitting here today in Westminster, Maryland, in 2010. And you know Christ as your personal Savior, you are blessed to have eternal life because Abraham was obedient to the call that he was given by God all those many years ago in Mesopotamia. Can you say amen right there? Amen. Yes, okay. Now, look at verse 4. So Abraham departed. So he was obedient. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Now, I want you to notice the last part of this fifth verse. I'm using it as my text. It says that they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, semicolon, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, when I read that, I got this little idea, wrote it down, and then developed the message around it. And I want to call that little principle to your attention this morning, and I want to preach to you from it. And I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Get to Canaan. Get to Canaan. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless, and then the message. Our Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that you will use the word of God now to be an encouragement to our hearts. And Lord, may we learn this morning what your will is for our lives. You want all of us to leave where we are and to get to Canaan. I pray that you will just fill me with your spirit. I pray that you will enable me and help me as I speak. And Lord, may the words that I say this morning just stir every heart. Lord, work in our midst today and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you. And Lord, we love you and thank you for all you've done for us. Now bless as the word of God is preached. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. In the first verse of this chapter, God called to Abraham and basically told him to get up and get out of his homeland and make the journey down to the land of Canaan. And in the fourth verse, we learn that Abraham was obedient to the call that God had given him. When God asked him to do this, he did it. And you got to give the man credit for that. He was obedient. We learn in verse 4 that he departed and he set out on the journey to do what the Lord called him to do. And now here in the fifth verse, we noticed that they left their homeland. They left the region of Mesopotamia, and they headed in the southwesterly direction toward the land of Canaan. And notice in the last part of that fifth verse that not only did he leave, but he kept going until he arrived at the destination that God wanted him to go to. He didn't just make the decision, okay, I'm going to leave. He actually carried through and did what God wanted and ended up where God wanted him to end up. And so this little phrase has a tremendous principle connected to it that I want to emphasize to you this morning. You know, there are a lot of folks who start the journey to go to the place where God calls them, but they don't always get there. All right? A lot of folks start the journey, but they don't always get there. There are two qualifications for success in life. One is to have a goal for which we start. And notice my text says in verse 5, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. That was their goal. They had a goal. But second, the second qualification for success in life is to just keep going once you've started. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything hinder you from reaching your goal. And the second thing is you have to keep going once you've started. And notice the last part of my text verse, it says, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, folks, I submit to you that what Abraham did here was not as simple and easy as these few sentences seem to make it. It is never easy to leave your home. It is never easy to leave your family. It is never easy to leave your friends and go into another part of the world. And also, let me remind you that all these years ago, when Abraham was called to do this task of leaving his home and his homeland and go to the land of Canaan, it was not as easy as going down to the train station and getting on a train and being there in 6 hours. It was not as easy as going to the airport and getting on an airplane and zipping down there in 35 minutes. I mean, we're talking about he had to load up camels and he had to start a journey across the desert. And there's all kinds of danger and all kinds of peril out there waiting on him. I mean, this would not have been as easy as what these couple of sentences make it out to be. But nonetheless, Abraham did what the Lord wanted him to do. I can remember several years ago when our family was leaving West Virginia to go to Joliet, Illinois. And we were at my brother's house, and all the family was there, and we were all saying goodbye to one another. And all of a sudden, my dad just broke down and grabbed a hold of me and just wept on my shoulder. And in just a few seconds, all of us were weeping and all of us were broken and all of us were sad as the reality set in that we would not see each other for several months and that life would forever be different as it had previously been. And so this was not an easy thing that Abraham and his family did when they obeyed the command of God and left their home and went down to sojourn in the land of Canaan. Now, also, if you look back at chapter 11 and verse 32, you will notice here that verse 31 and 32, you will notice here that Abraham's father died and they buried him in Haran. In other words, they buried him in their hometown. Now, you say, well, why are you bringing that up? Well, these ancient cultures were all strongly attached to the burial places of their loved ones. They had a strong attachment to the sepulchers, to the graves where their loved ones were buried. And you know, when you think about it, we do too. We have that same attachment. I think especially Christians have that same attachment. I've met a lot of people through the years and who have said, Pastor, would you pray for our church? And I say, oh, yeah, why? Well, our church is really struggling. And our pastor doesn't preach the word of God anymore, and we've got contemporary music, and our church is just not doing very well. Would you pray for our church? And I've many times said, well, I tell you what, why don't you leave that and come to our church? We still preach the Bible at our church. You can leave and come there. And I've had umpteen people through the years say to me, well, Pastor, I can't do that. Why, Mom and Dad's buried out in the backyard of our church. And I've been tempted. I never have said it, but I've always wanted to say, we got 70 some acres. Dig them up, bring them up here. We'll bury them up here. If that's what's keeping you in that old dead, dried up mausoleum that you call a church, if that's what's keeping you there, then come on, we'll bury them up at our place. We'll make our own cemetery if we have to. But you see, it would not have been easy. That's my point. It would not have been easy for Abraham to do what God called him to do here. I then read the rest of the chapter and a couple more following chapters. And it occurred to me that without a doubt, this would have been difficult because Abraham would have encountered all kinds of problems and dangers and perils as he made that journey. Folks, just think about it. He had to go through the desert. I mean, no doubt they got thirsty. No doubt drought and hunger was a problem. I have no doubt, but what there were bands of desert thieves and robbers that were out there, and sandstorms in the desert, and plagues and disease and fatigue. But he just kept going. Abraham did not let anything stop him. He made his mind up that he was going to do what God asked him to do, and he stayed true to the start he had made, and he kept going until he reached the land where God called him to go. He had a destination and a goal in mind. How many times have you said to someone, where are you going? And they say, no place, nowhere. Well, you know, that doesn't work in the Christian life. We need to know where we're going. We need to know how to get there. And we need to make up our mind that we're not going to let anything stand in our way and keep us from reaching the land of Canaan. I think too many folks are like that drunk guy that walked up to the ticket counter at the bus stop and the agent said, where to, sir? And he said, what tickets you got? You know, that's kind of the way we look at it. What tickets you got? I mean, listen, folks, God has a direction he wants you to take. God has a goal he wants you to reach. God wants you to get out of the wilderness and into the land of Canaan. Listen, gospel music would have you think that Canaan is a picture of heaven. No, Canaan is a picture of the victory in the Christian life. Canaan is the place where the children of Israel still had enemies to fight. They still had their problems when they got there, but they had a God that solved every crisis. They had a God that fixed every problem. They had a God that fought every battle for them. It is not a picture of heaven. It is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And I say to you this morning that God has a message here for each and every one of us. Just as God called Abraham and said, get out of Ur and get down to Canaan, God is saying to you this morning, hey, Christian, get down to Canaan. Get to the place where there's power. Get to the place where there's victory. Get to the place where I'm fighting your battles for you and where I am providing the solutions that you need for your problems. And God wants us there if we're just willing to go. Now, we will be much further down the road if we know where we're going. And Canaan should be our destination. And I want us to look this morning at this passage of scripture and think about getting down to Canaan. I want us to think about starting the journey. I want us to think about continuing in the journey. I want us to think about finishing the journey and getting to Canaan regardless of the struggles that we have to face along the way. Now, first of all, this morning, I want you to think in this light. Let's look at why some start for Canaan, but they never make it. Let's think about why some folks start towards Canaan, but then they never make it. As I was preparing the message and kind of saw the direction that I wanted to go, I stopped right here in the message and I just sat and thanked God for so many of you folks who are just here no matter what. I just praise God. I mean, faces came to my mind. I'm talking about people that for years have been in the Church of the Open Door. You're not just here, you've been here, all right? You're not just occupying space, but you are what makes this ministry work. And I just sat and I thanked God. Your names and your faces came to mind. And I thanked God for you. And I thought, man, you know, when so-and-so came to my mind, I thought, wow, look at the struggles they had to go through a couple of years ago. Wow, look at the battle that they had to fight. Wow, look at what the devil put in front of them. But Lord, thank you that they did not stop. Thank you that that little thing did not cause them to stop in their progress toward the land of Canaan. And so I want to talk about some of the pitfalls along the way. There are some folks that start for Canaan, but they never make it. Why? Well, first of all, some find difficulties along the way. There are some folks that just find difficulties along the way. Well, folks, I want to tell you, there are going to be difficulties in the Christian life. I wish I could tell you that once you get saved, that all your problems are going to be over. I wish I could tell you that. But if I were to take the microphone this morning and pass it around and have you testify, there would not be one person in this building that would be able to say, well, I've had absolutely no problems at all since I got saved. No, the simple truth of the matter is there is just one pitfall, one peril after another. And I can't help but parallel this with the children of Israel when they left Egypt and they saw all the miraculous things that God did for them to get them out of Egypt and safely across the Red Sea. But you know, it didn't take long for them to experience problems, did it? And it never does. Because that's just the way things are. The devil would not be the devil if he didn't muddy the water to source. And so the murmuring started. They got hungry. They got tired. And the next thing you read in the scripture is they're sitting around remembering about life in Egypt and what it used to be like. They're sitting around remembering the food they had. And ironically, the Bible says that as they were sitting there reflecting, they were remembering the leeks and the garlic and the onions that they ate in Egypt. And I thought, man, how desperate must those people have been that they're sitting there thinking about onions and garlic that they used to eat back in Egypt. Well, but that's just the nature of man, is it not? And so then they sent the spies over in the land. And when the spies returned, they came back with a negative report about giants being in the land. And then another obstacle caused them to murmur. And then their murmuring grew even louder. And God then turned them back to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that whole generation of gripers and complainers had died out. And then God led them into the land of Canaan. And you know, folks, a lot of Christians start the journey, but difficulties turn them back. I want you to understand, Christian, there are going to be difficulties that stand in the way as you go through the Christian life. You experience the great miracle of salvation when God reaches down in the hog pen and lifts you out. And reaches down into the pit and pulls you out of the pit and sets your feet upon the solid rock and puts a new song in your mouth, even praise to his name. And you experience that great miracle of salvation. God gives life to that which was dead, and you experience the joy of sins forgiven. And then God speaks and says to you, all right, now, listen, now that I've got you through the Red Sea, now that I've got you out of Egypt, now that you've seen my power and you've seen my strength, it's time for you to get to Canaan. But then inevitably, as soon as you start the journey, difficulties are going to arise. It's just the way it is, folks. I wish I could change it for you, but I can't. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say all the time, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. And there's an awful lot of God's people that it doesn't take a whole lot to stop them. God was not going to make Abraham a great nation until he got to Canaan. But the road to Canaan is always filled with difficulty. And you cannot let those things stop you, Christian. That's my point. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep pressing. You cannot get sidetracked on the road to Canaan. Second reason. Sometimes we never arrive because of the temptation to try another route. Sometimes we never get to Canaan because of the temptation to try another route. I'm amazed at how easily some folks can get sidetracked. God said, get to Canaan. And I am so glad that Abraham didn't get sidetracked. Hey, folks, you and I are here today because Abraham did not get sidetracked. Now that ought to give you a pause for thought right there. I mean, you know, maybe somebody is one day going to be in eternity because, thank God, you didn't get sidetracked along the way to Canaan. I'm glad he didn't. I mean, this great testimony from the heart of God would never have been included in the scriptures about him had he gotten sidetracked. But thank God for the last part of verse 5 where it says, and to the land of Canaan he came. The Apostle Paul had something to say about this. Paul, using the illustration of a track athlete, Paul said he was running not as uncertainly. In other words, Paul said that you got to stay on course. Can you imagine a marathon runner and he goes and checks in and they give him a sheet of paper and a sheet of paper says, here's the route. Here's the course. And he looks at the course and he goes, ooh, I don't like that one. I'm going to make up my own course. No, you're disqualified if you go off the course. Can you imagine two NFL teams line up for the Super Bowl and the referee throws the coin in the air and it's and he says, okay, you won the toss. Do you want the ball or what do you want it first half or second half? And can you imagine the team captain says, well, we want the ball. And he said, okay, which end do you want to defend? And he said, we'll defend this end. And they say, okay, then let's have a good game, boys. But then both captains say, oh, excuse me, Mr. Ref. We've decided, we took a vote, and we've decided that we're not going to use your services today. We know there's all these rules. We know there's all these penalties. And we understand all that. But we've decided that we're going to play the game without any rules. We want you to take your guys and go get in the shower. And we're just going to play the game the way we want to play the game. Well, folks, listen. That's not how you play the game. I mean, just shut it down. Yesterday, Josh and I were watching the World Cup game, and about halfway through the game, Braden looks over at me and says, Papa, I want to play Wii. What? I want to play Wii. I said, no, we're watching the game. But Papa, I want to play Wii. Now, which part of this do you not understand? We got some rules around here. And when I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. And we didn't play Wii. We watched the game. I mean, some things just are what they are. You know what I'm saying? And folks, listen, it's the way it is in a Christian life. God said, I want you to get to Canaan. But wait a minute, there's some rules for getting to Canaan. It's called your Bible. And what I think so often happens is we don't arrive because of the temptation to try another route. We want to get on another course. We want to go a different direction. Brethren, we've got to go God's direction. Paul said it this way. In the book of Philippians, he said, this one thing I do. And listen, when it comes to getting to Canaan, it ought to be in our minds, this one thing I do. This is how you get to Canaan. You don't get to Canaan with the world's opportunities. You don't get to Canaan with the world's program. You don't get to Canaan with the world's ideas. You get to Canaan with God's plan. This book right here will guide our steps. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. I think it's better just to get on the course, concentrate on the course, and stay on the course. And that's why I challenge you from this pulpit. Practically every week I challenge you from this pulpit. Folks, be in the house of God. Read your Bible every day. Be soul conscious. Be aware that every person is a soul who is going to spend eternity somewhere. And if we don't make a difference in their lives, who's going to make it? I mean, just stay on the track. Just stay on the course. I was reading about a story a couple weeks ago about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a master at using illustrations, and he used to tell a story about a blacksmith that he knew. And this blacksmith heated up a piece of iron in his forge, and not knowing what he would make out of it, he was thinking as he was heating it up, and at first he thought he'd make a horseshoe. And so he brought the iron out of the forge and started beating it into a horseshoe. And then he thought, nah, I don't need a horseshoe. And so he thought, well, so he stuck it back in the forge and was trying to think of something else he could make. And he brought it out and started hammering it in another direction and thought he'd make something else. And then he thought, nah, I really don't need that. So he stuck it back and he kept doing that and doing that and doing that until he hammered it so much that it was really good for nothing. So he held it up with his tongs and with a look of disgust on his face, he just threw it into a tub of water. Now, when that hot iron hit that water, He smiled as it hit it, and he said, well, at least I can make a good fizzle out of it. And you know, I think sometimes we approach the Christian life this way. I mean, we start out good. We start out towards Canaan, but then we get sidetracked along the way. And after a while, instead of being something useful for God, all we are good for is just a good fizzle. We just kind of fizzle out for God. Now, secondly, let me illustrate this point. Let me illustrate. Let me just bring it down where practically we can see it. You know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't take a whole lot to get most folks off track. It really doesn't. I mean, evidently, the Church of Jesus Christ has had this problem since its beginning days. For you read in the New Testament, and so much of it has to do with an appeal for Christians to stay on course, to stay on track. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul said, he asked the Galatian church, he said, "Ye did run well. Who hath hindered you that ye should not obey the truth?" Notice that, folks. He did not ask what. He asked who. Who has hindered you? And of course, it's easy to figure out who the who is. The who is the devil who hinders us as we journey towards Canaan. And brethren, the devil knows your weakness. He knows what it's going to take to set you off. He knows what to do in order to sidetrack you. I've watched him knock people off the road to Canaan for so long now, I can't hardly stand it. I've seen some folks get knocked off the road and watched them get knocked down and then wallowed in the mire. And you just sit there and scratch your head and say, how in the world did you let that happen to you? Didn't you see that coming? I've seen folks get knocked off the road by some doctrinal issue. I've seen them get knocked off the road by some stand that the church has had to take. I've seen them get knocked off the road by some national issue that comes up, and I have to take a stand nationally about it. And because we have affinity through the years, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're off the road. We're off the road. When I first came here years ago, Dale Kidd came up to me the first week I was here. Dale Kidd said, "Pastor, we got a problem." I said, "Just one? That's all we got? Just one? That sounds good." He said, "No, this is a big one though." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, from the time Dr. Smith left and the time you came, 6 months lapsed," he said, "in our Awana program, there's been a lot of folks that brought the NIV Bible in to the Awana program." And I said, "Oh yeah, that's a problem." And so he said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, I guess I need to just start from scratch." And so I took about 6 weeks and I preached a series of messages that I entitled, How We Got Our Bible. How We Got Our Bible. You know, standing here today and looking back 15 years ago to when all this happened, standing here today, the people 15 years ago who tried to bring the NIV Bible into the church via the children's programs, those people in the last 15 years, they've all left. They've all left. And I'm the evil guy. Guilty. Now, I know that I anger some of you sometimes when I take a stand, but let me tell you something. I do not want to stand before God and have my head bowed and the Lord look me dead in the eye and say, "Why didn't you stand against that? Look what you did. You let everybody in your church get infected by a poison." My job is to stand here and keep the poison out. My job is to stand here with this book. And folks, listen, I read this book. I've studied this book. I've preached from this book for all these years now. I think I have a little bit of an understanding of what this book says. And I am not about to let the devil stick his ugly face in the front door and do nothing about it. We had dinner with some folks in the church last night, and this lady starts giggling. I said, "What are you laughing about?" We were talking about some of the services we've had lately. She started giggling, and I said, "What are you laughing about?" And she said, "Well, I didn't quite understand something you said, but then after I thought about it a little while, I realized what you were saying, and it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard." And I said, "What?" She said, "You remember a couple of weeks ago when you were preaching about how you weren't going to let the Wiggle Sisters come up on the platform?" Said, I looked over and said, "Wiggle Sisters? What's he talking about?" I said, "Yeah, we're not going to go contemporary. We're not bringing in the drums and the guitars and the amplifiers and the world's music. We're not bringing the honky-tonks into the church." She said, "I don't like that." Tough rocks. We're still not doing it. Well, you say, "Well, everybody's doing it." No, they're not. Not everybody. And my Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." So as long as I'm the pastor here, now y'all can fire me if you want to, and then you can have it, but I know you don't want it. I hope you don't want it. You can fire me and get somebody to let you do it. But as long as I'm here, we're not doing it. We're not having the Wiggle Sisters up here on this platform wiggling for Jesus and singing on Sunday morning, Sunday night. It ain't happening. You see, we're on the road to Canaan. That's why when you walk in here, I say, open your Bible. Why? Because the Bible is the roadmap to get you to Canaan. You're not going to come in here and say, "Oh, we're not having preaching tonight." Yes, we're having preaching tonight. That's what we do. Why? Because my words aren't going to help you, but God's words will. You say, "Well, we used to have movies in my old church." Well, you want to get a movie? You bring it to me, let me preview it, and we'll show it on a Friday night if it's a good movie, if it's got basic Bible principles and not full of the world. We can have a Friday night movie night if you want to, but we're not doing it on Sundays. I do not read anywhere in the book of Acts where they got together and had a movie night in the book of Acts. You say, "Well, they didn't have movies back then." Good enough for me. Can I get a witness over here? My goodness, folks. Don't let anything get you off the path. Don't let anything get you off the path. You say, "Well, that preacher." Yeah, I know. He's a mess, isn't he? Hard-headed, stubborn. It just, One lady told me a couple months ago, she said, "Oh, I could pinch your face off." I said, "It's the only one I got. Don't pinch it off. Don't get mad at me, folks. I'm protecting you, protecting your children. I want to see your children grow up and do something for God. I don't want to see them grow up and hate God." So yeah, I have to take a stand every now and then. But don't let that knock you down. Don't let that trip you up. Here's another one. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just get to Canaan yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. I've watched some get off the road because they're so busy watching others that they don't see the obstacles in their path, and they trip and fall and they get hurt, and then they don't want to go on any further. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You just worry about you. That's why I say to you, stay on track. You stay focused on getting to Canaan yourself. It doesn't matter where so-and-so is in their journey. You have to be like Paul and say, "This one thing I do." And you just worry about you. You stay in church. You stay in the Word. You keep winning souls. We're too much like Peter, sitting around with the Lord, looks over and says, well, Lord, what about John? What about John? What's going to be his part in the kingdom? And Jesus said, Peter, what is that to you? If I let John live until I come a second time, what business is that of yours? He said, you just follow me. And man, that's the principle. You just follow the Lord. Folks, listen, I'm not trying to be glib here. I'm trying to get you to see a point. Who cares who sings the special music? Who cares? Who cares who ushers? Who cares? Who cares who teaches the class? Who cares? But evidently, a lot of people care.
Well, he didn't ask me to sing.
There might be a reason for that. Have you ever thought of that? There just might be a reason for that. Maybe you couldn't carry a tune in a wash tub. I don't know. Well, he didn't ask me to usher.
Well, I'm mad.
Well, he didn't ask me to teach. He just asked you. He just asked you a few minutes ago. We need help in some areas. He just asked you.
Well, he didn't call on me to pray.
Yeah, I'd get mad about that if I were you. I'd just get all out of sorts if I were you. That would tick me off right there. Who cares as long as somebody sings? Who cares as long as somebody ushers? Who cares as long as somebody teaches? And if we would just, as we're going down the road towards Canaan, if we would just stop and say, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do something. Instead of pouting, instead of looking for an excuse, instead of saying, well, I was sick and nobody called me. First of all, let me say to you, we're working on mind reading. We're working on it. We ain't got there yet, but we're working on it, trying to figure out a way to make it work. I haven't figured it out yet, and if I ever do, I'll share it with the staff, and we'll never miss one of your headaches again, I promise. We'll never miss an episode, I promise we won't. But right now, we're just not there. Do you see how ridiculous all this stuff is, folks? I'm trying to get you to see God said, get up, get up. Get up, get out. Okay, all right, I'm on the way. Oh, by the way, Abraham, as you're going, man, it's not going to be easy. You're going to run into all kinds of problems. There's going to be stuff to get in your way. There's going to be perils along the way. You're going to have your hands full, Abraham. It's not going to be easy. It's a long, arduous journey. But Abraham, once you get there, I'm going to bless you, I promise you. Just keep your eyes on me.
And folks, one of these days when you stay with it and you keep reading your Bible and you stay in church and you keep winning souls and you keep caring and you keep giving and you keep praying and you keep the smile on your face. Yes, the obstacles are tough, but you'll get over here in Canaan. You'll get over here in the will of God one of these days and you'll look around and you'll say, hallelujah, look at this. Look at what God has done. Look at how God is using me.
I got an email from a friend of mine that I grew up with. And he said, I cannot believe where God has taken you. And three big exclamation points. And left a phone number and said, call me. So I called him. And we started to talk and he said, I just got on the internet. He said, somebody told me that you pastored a large church in Westminster, Maryland. And he said, I got on the internet and I cannot believe what God has done in your life. And he said, I have downloaded just about everything that you have on the internet and listened to it. He said, my soul. what God has done? I say, yep, God's done it all. God's done it all. He said, I can remember back. He said, I remember when you went forward. He said, do you remember that? And I said, yeah, I remember that. I've told you all this before. I went forward on a Sunday night, told the preacher that God had called me to preach. He stepped back, looked at me and said, are you sure? Nobody believed it. Nobody. Are you sure? That's what he said. Hurt my feelings. I said, yes. Wow. And then he turned around to the congregation at the end of the invitation and he said, folks, I want to remind you that our God is a miracle working God. And God got the glory right there because I'm telling you, it was a miracle. Nobody believed it. But if you just stay on the road and you just keep learning and you just keep growing and you just stay with it, you will find one day you'll wake up in Canaan and go, glory to God, look at this. Can you imagine when Abraham walked up on that last mountain and was standing, got to the mountain's top and looked down and saw the Sea of Galilee and saw the Jordan Valley going down and then stood there and looked at all of it and the Spirit of God began to speak to his heart, all that's yours, Abraham. All that's yours and to all your descendants, I'm giving you this land. Can you imagine him standing there and the joy that was in his heart as he realized that his grandchildren would be playing along the sea one day? As he realized those cities would be built and his descendants would live in those cities. Oh, there's joy in serving Jesus. But brethren, you got to start. But once you start, you can't stop. Just stay with it. Can you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning, telling you, hey, it's time to get to Canaan. Just get to Canaan. Just get to Canaan. And I'll bless you there.